The following message was recorded at First Baptist Church in Lyndale, Texas. For more great teaching or to find information about our church and when we gather, visit our website at fbclyndale.com.
As Tom said this morning, we're not going to be in Romans, and I am not Tom Buck. Don't know if you all can tell. But my name is Thomas, so that counts for something. We're going to be in Psalm 46 this morning. Would you please turn there? And then if you would, please stand and rise in honor of the one who spoke this word into existence. This is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its lofty pride, Selah. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be shaken. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations roar. The kingdoms shake. He gives his voice. The earth melts. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, who has appointed desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts up the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Yahweh of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our stronghold, Selah. Amen. You may be seated. Let's pray. O Lord, our Father, King of the universe, we entrust ourselves to you, knowing that your word, as it goes forth, will accomplish as you see fit. And I ask, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would convict our hearts. Oh God, we come to you. We come to your word now for guidance. Would you work in our hearts and our minds during these seasons full of trial? That we could hold on to you, our rock and our redeemer. We know you hold on to us. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, by the love and will of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. Amen. As Tom mentioned, this has been a pretty rocky season for our congregation. There's been a lot of suffering, a lot of death, a lot of pain. And not for our congregation only, but as we think for the world at large and in our nation, this past month has had a great many things happen that cause us concern, that cause us to ask the question, why? What are you doing, God? That can cause us to not fully understand or to be confused about what's happening. Psalm 46 comes from a place, at least if we're looking at the immediate context, from a place of that same thought process, the need and desire for refuge, the need and desire for strength. Israel at this place in time physically is a nation that has always had adversaries surrounding it. A massive trade route where if one could control Israel, they could control large quantities of trade. Frequently throughout the Psalter, we see moments of praise and of peace and moments of direct reliance upon Yahweh for the deliverance of the nation. Living in a constant, almost constant at least, place of, Lord, where is our refuge? Where is our strength? And the response here, as we look in the Psalter, might seem strange to us. The response to living in a place of great uncertainty, of battle on every side is to sing. Isn't that interesting? You and I might not be tempted to sing a song like Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice, but what is that first line? Rejoice, the Lord is King. This song is what inspired Martin Luther's famed hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God, a song that is known to stoke the fire of our hearts to rely upon God alone as our refuge. And so as we enter into or are in the midst of a season of great uncertainty, of unrest, of pain, of concern, of loss, the response first and foremost from the Psalter here, brothers and sisters, is for us to gather together and proclaim what we know through song. Our God is our refuge and our strength. This is one of the reasons I love that we have a choir that aids us in congregational singing. As David said, we sing to one another. We remind one another of these truths. The entrance into this psalm says our God, God is our, plural, refuge and strength. A very present help in trouble. Refuge, well, we call this building, some people call this building a sanctuary, having a similar meaning, a place of peace, a place where you are protected from adversaries. A place of safety. This refuge is defensive. It's the defense. So God is our refuge and strength. Strength can be used both as defensive and offensive. Not only strength to withstand attacks, which as in the mind of the original singers of this psalm, they would have thought of the big stone walls surrounding Jerusalem. Large, seemingly impenetrable walls, fortresses. And strength is used not just as a means to describe their ability to withstand, but strength is also offensive. Our God not only protects, but He provides. And this next part should be perplexing for us. It certainly would have been perplexing for other Near Eastern individuals who did not follow Yahweh. It says, a very present help in trouble. In many other faiths surrounding Israel at that point in time, trouble was caused by you not doing the right thing towards that deity, and so you had to do something in order to appease them to make them happy. No, this says that our God is a very present, close help in trouble. This language is used in Isaiah 55, 6, and I think it accurately describes what it means that He is very present or close. It says, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near. Call upon Him while He is near. Now, we are somewhat removed from this idea, because I can call friends in Washington or friends around the world using a phone, and they are so far away from me. But obviously, there was not, AT&T wasn't around in ancient Israel. This idea that God, the Creator, is close enough for us to call upon Him and He help us, that's an incredible reality. We shouldn't just let that wash over us. He's a very present help in trouble. Not only does that mean He's near, but that means He is actively our help in the midst of these times. This is what Israel was singing first and foremost in the midst of battle, in the midst of worry, in the midst of unrest. Our God is near. We can call upon Him and He will help us. And the reason that we shouldn't let this wash over us is exposed in the rest of the psalm. Look at verses 3 or 2 and 3. It says, therefore we will not fear. Though the earth should change, and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its lofty pride, Selah. which means pause, reflect, listen. I think a lot of us would benefit from having Selah at the end of a lot of the tasks that we do throughout the day. That's a whole side note. Preach a sermon on that, I'm not going to. But look at the response to God being our refuge and strength and Him being a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Why? Because Yahweh is king over all creation. The very same God who is king over all creation, we have direct access to. Though the earth should change and though the mountains shake into the heart of the sea, if you've spent any time in Alaska or in Washington or Oregon or really anywhere, or Colorado with mountains, you see these behemoth-sized, beautiful mountains in the distance. You could be hundreds of miles away. That was one of the things I enjoyed about Western Washington is most places you were at, if you knew where to look, and the 2 days of the year whenever you didn't have clouds, you could see from a large distance Mount Rainier. It was beautiful, glorious. Who could ever imagine such a large mountain folding into the sea? The earth should change here. That's language that is speaking to creation being reduced to chaos. These large mountains shake into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its lofty pride. God is over this. God has spoken all these things into existence. And notice it says, though creation itself, because that's what I believe this is speaking about, return to chaos. If creation were to become chaotic, even then, whenever there's no physical sanctuary, no physical refuge, because if you've ever been in an earthquake, if you've ever been in a flood, you are out of your control, you cannot control those things, there's no allowance here for a physical sanctuary. And he says, even though there be no physical sanctuary, you have a refuge. These things naturally concern us because we are naturally out of control. Any of you who've lived in East Texas long enough have had to brave many great storms. I lived in Nacogdoches during Hurricane Katrina. You've seen massive floods take place, things that just reduce buildings in a matter of moments. And even on a small scale, I'll never forget my first experience taking a little kayak out in tidal waters. The tide comes in and it comes out. You don't think much about it because, at least in the Sound where I was at, the water is relatively calm. But if you go out there in a tiny little boat and the tide decides to start coming out, it's almost as if you're getting sucked into the water. You see the wave go up in front of you, and then you're stuck. And you're like, what do I do? I can't control this. And you can't. Think about this. We cannot control the physical world and the calamities that happen. We have no physical refuge that can ultimately save us from creation being undone. But we have a refuge in our God. And so the psalm deals first with Yahweh being over all of creation. And pay special attention to the word shake into the heart of the sea in verse 2. We're about to see that again. Because not only is God king over all the physical creation that surrounds us, He's also king over all the nations. Whether you or I like it or not, Yahweh is king. We do not make Him king. We do not make Him Lord. He is, because that's who He is. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. This is verses 5 through 7. The holy dwelling places of the Most High. Notice these tumultuous waters are now reduced to a controlled river by which streams spring forth and make glad or bring life to the city of God. As an ancient Israelite would have understood, this was a beautiful thing, for one would channel waters from a river or a nearby water source to go throughout the entire city to produce irrigation for crops. So where we have this uncontrolled chaos, we see here in the city of God, that chaos is controlled and springs forth life. And brothers and sisters, that is our God. He brings order to chaos. He brings life out of these things. This is what they are singing and celebrating. Look at what he has done. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be shaken. There's that word shaken again. And so just as those mountains would tumble and fall into the sea, one might be tempted to assume that we too will be shaken. The Israelites singing this might be tempted to assume we're going under. This is it. There's no hope. But for those who are in the presence of Yahweh, they will not be shaken. Because he stands firm. He never changes. God will help her when the morning dawns. I do believe that this is a beautiful echo to whenever God rose to help the Israelites on their way through the Red Sea, as the morning burst forth, as the sun gave light, at that moment you see the waters coming against all of Pharaoh's army as they were chasing Israel in the Exodus. God will help her when the morning dawns. You see that word help being repeated again. You see God as the one who is helping. The nations roar, the kingdoms shake. He gives his voice. And this is perhaps my favorite description of the power of God in the scripture. He gives his voice, the earth melts. This is eerily similar to Psalm chapter 2. Remember, Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are a gateway to the Psalter. They act as a gateway to the Psalms. Within them contains the main themes that you see produced all throughout the Psalter, including the messianic future, the future coming king. But listen to this from Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples meditate on a vain thing? The kings of the earth take their stand against, or take their stand, and the rulers take counsel together. And Yahweh, and against his anointed, saying, let us tear their fetters apart and cast away their cords from us. And what is his response? He who sits in heaven laughs. The Lord mocks them. He speaks to them in his anger and terrifies them in his fury, saying, but as for me, I have installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. Verse 12 at the end of Psalm 2 says this, kiss the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Isn't God's word incredible? As a side note, my daughter told me the other day, there are so many reasons why I know that God's word is true. She's a voracious reader. She's 9 years old. She reads through chapter books like crazy. Sometimes we have to tell her, you need to stop reading and go outside and play with your brother. But she said, there are so many books and series that I will read, and the author will mess things up or forget things about the previous book that they wrote, but you don't see that in the Bible. I know. I learn a lot from her. This is Psalm 2, and here we have in Psalm 46, almost the same exact proclamation. Brothers and sisters, that even if the nations roar in their pride, and it doesn't matter, those kingdoms will fall. Because the Lord gives his voice, and the earth melts. Who can stand before him? Who can stand before Yahweh, King of Kings? We may be tempted, oftentimes, to have this pendulum swing, where the first portion of this psalm says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble. He's my friend. And so he doesn't really care about what I do because he'll be fine with it. He loves me. It'll be okay. And then the other pendulum swing is he's too holy. He's too transcendent. I can't get to him no matter what I do. And we need to hold both of these things together, that God is both holy, transcendent, perfect in justice, who made everything, who speaks and the earth melts, who can undo creation by the very same way he sprung it forth with his word, and also that our God has come to us. That should guide and direct the way that we come to him. Amen? We should come to him humbled, rejoicing, and come to him in faith. Faith in his promise and in his promises. Look at verse 7. Yahweh of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This is the refrain or the chorus of the psalm. It will be repeated again at the very end. And so I won't get too much into it right now, but I will say this, the God of hosts, this is the God of angel armies, massive angelic armies, a God of power, a mighty man of war, the God of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And immediately the name Jacob would have evoked a sense of God's faithfulness in the hearts and minds of those who were singing this song originally. For God kept his promise to Jacob. And we'll get to that in a moment. But first, please hear me when I say this. If you are in the midst of suffering and calamity, and you do not know the way forward, you do not feel as though you can move forward, I want to encourage you. Do not run to distraction and do not run to the things of this world to give you solace. Do not seek refuge anywhere except for in the one who has made you. Do not seek strength anywhere but from him. For he is a God who keeps his promises. Something that's really important for us to understand before we move forward is this. God, yes, it says that he dwells in the midst of this city, talking about Zion, his people. But do you understand now, brothers and sisters, that as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, God dwells within us, his people, by the power of the Holy Spirit. No wonder we gather together to sing every week. It's not just some part of the program. We got to make sure we get a couple of songs in, and then somebody will get up and give a long-winded speech. By no means. Isn't that a ridiculous view of church? We come to be encouraged by the word of God because everything around us changes except for that. We come to sing what we know and celebrate what we know because our God is a God who lives. And he lives in you and me, within the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit. How incredible is this? How near our God is to us. Even whenever everything that would seem to come against us and would seem to separate us from him, he is near. So far, we have seen both a past and present within the psalm. We see a past creation, but also a present protection against armies, a present protection against enemies, but now the psalm shifts to the future, to the future promises of God, where we look back to Jacob and now we see another promise that he has made to his people. Look at this in verse 8. Come, behold the works of Yahweh. This is a call to worship, by the way. If you look at our bulletins, we have a call to worship. We have several elements of the service purposely so that we can come to God and be reminded of the truth. This call to worship, it is ultimately saying, come, behold the works of our God. To behold here, this is a strong term. That means to peer into deep spiritual things, to look into, to have revealed to us. Come, behold the works of Yahweh, who has appointed desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts up the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. This is by no means a very nice, polite, dainty way of handling war, is it? Look at these words. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow. He cuts the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. This is a future promise. We see in Isaiah chapter 2, 1 through 4, it says, now it will be that in the last days the mountain of the house of Yahweh will be established as the head of the mountains and will be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations will stream to it. And many peoples will come and say, come, let us go to the mountain of Yahweh, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may instruct us from his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion the law will go forth, and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem, and he will judge between the nations and render decisions for many peoples. And they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. Now, friends, you and I exist still in a relatively peaceful nation, particularly for us as Christians. We have brothers and sisters around the world right now that face terrible persecution, physical death. So don't let this future of peace be something simple to you. No more war. No more human killing human. No more repudiation of the image bearers of God. No more rejection of the sanctity of life. But a place where life and life abundant exists. This future promise is what we hold on to. You have this shift, you have this display of Yahweh's masterful sovereignty over physical creation, masterful sovereignty over the affairs of man and over nations who would seek to rise against his people, and now you have this promise. One day, all of that will cease. Why? Because he speaks and the earth melts. Because he says it will. And so now we come to a famed verse, verse 10, of which I've used many years as a means to comfort my own soul and comfort others. And I'm not going to burst your bubble on verse 10, but I will say it's not referring oftentimes to who we think it's referring to. He's not referring to his people. He's referring to all of the nations and every kind of calamity that would come upon the earth. And he says, be still and know I am God. This is him establishing his kingship. And in the very same ways that the waves ceased whenever Christ our Lord said, "Peace, be still," Yahweh speaks here and says, "Cease striving. Cease fighting against me. Know that I am God, not a God, but God." And so, yes, while we can take comfort in this verse saying, well, he's God and I am not. He's in control and I am not, which is true. We need to recognize that our view of God directly affects the way in which we interact with him and others. And if we have a messed up view of God, I promise you he'll correct it one day. Cease striving and know that I am God. Yahweh, the only one who can speak to all creation and it melts. This is the God you and I serve. But make no mistake, friends, we cannot just simply and flippantly approach such a holy God. Amen? This is why the last refrain, it's so important for us to understand. It says, Yahweh of hosts is with us. This strong and mighty King, the creator of all things, he is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. This God of Jacob kept his promise to Jacob. If you look at Genesis 28, 13 through 14, you see God, Yahweh, giving Jacob this promise. I am Yahweh, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I will give it to you and to your seed. And your seed will also be like the dust of the earth. And you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in you and in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. There is only one way, friends, by which we can approach this holy God and be his child. And that is through the promised seed of Jacob. That is through Jesus Christ. If this God speaks and the earth melts, how can we even begin to expect to enter into his presence being unholy, being unrighteous, being imperfect? If he's perfect and powerful, how can we even come before him? We must have a mediator. Christ is perfect. Christ is righteous. And notice, as God is going to exact justice, breaking the bow and shattering the spear, if you and I are honest with ourselves, we deserve that same justice, don't we? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're perfect, because usually at least one person does. Then I'll have to talk to him afterwards. Only through Jesus can you and I approach this God. Brothers and sisters, our God has come to us. He has drawn near that we might come to him through Christ. If you have not turned from your sin and from your anger against God, because that's what it is, your rebellion against him, not wanting to follow him. If you have not turned from that, turn from that today and come to Jesus, his son. For our God has come to us. So that whenever I stand before Almighty God, I'm clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. I'm clothed in his power. I'm clothed in him. I take my refuge in Jesus. Keep something in mind whenever we speak about Jacob. If you've spent any time in Genesis lately, you will come to find, well, I'll ask you this, was Jacob perfect? No. Throughout the entire story of Jacob, you see multiple times where he was not perfect by any means. And so did God keep his promises to Jacob because he was good enough? Because he followed him good enough? By no means. Did Jacob earn the promises of God? You can answer this. Did he earn the promises of God? No. And yet God still kept his promises to Jacob for the sake of his kingdom and for the sake of his glory. You may be in the midst of a situation now where you have realized, I have not handled this situation well. How can I even come before God with the way that I have acted? He wouldn't listen to me. That's where you're wrong. Come to him in humility. Come to him and ask for his will to be done in your life. Come to him and take refuge in him and ask him to be your strength. We have no need to fear, for through Jesus we have access to God's eternal refuge and strength. Hear me whenever I say this again, regardless of what we are going through, regardless of what's happening in our lives, we have no need to fear, for through Jesus we have access to God's eternal refuge and strength. He's very present in times of trouble. So do not let your fear of these situations and concern of these situations outweigh your fear of the one who has made all things. If you notice, times of suffering, calamity have a way of revealing to us where we should seek refuge. In the same way that cold clothes will draw you to a warm fire, suffering and calamity exposes our need for refuge. Run to him. Receive his word with quietness and reverence, knowing that it is grace that you can receive it in the first place. Walk in the hope that he has given us, that one day he will make all things new again. And for a little while, these present sufferings should be considered as nothing compared to the glory that awaits us. Do not fear death. We've spoken a lot about death of late. This is what they would have been fearing with enemy armies coming in. I want to encourage you, do not fear death, for death is not the final end. Our brother Vodi once said, you might hear a rumor or a myth that I have died. Do not believe it, for I will be more alive than you could ever possibly imagine. Brothers and sisters, we have no need to fear, for our God has conquered death, and he is king over the entirety of the universe. And he is near to his people. My hope and prayer is that together, corporately, we will come to him and rely upon his refuge and strength. Let's pray. God, we thank you for being our refuge and strength, for being the one who protects us and who guides us, who fights on our behalf. And we ask, Lord, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would remind us of your word, that we could cling to your promises and know that our God reigns. Yahweh of hosts is with us. And the God of Jacob is our stronghold through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.